Hello, my name is Mary Mack, and I'd like to welcome you to a special edition of the Zai Lab podcast series on e-discovery and information management technology. The WikiLeaks scandal involving the release of 250,000 classified State Department cables has put automatic redaction software in the spotlight. Johannes Schultes, Chief Strategy Officer for Zai Lab and Professor of Text Mining at the University of Maastricht in the Netherlands, joins me today to discuss the wide range of redaction technology and how some software may give a false sense of security. Jan, thanks for your time today. Apart from this recent example of the unauthorized release of confidential information, there's so many other cases where redaction and inappropriate redaction or ineffective redaction or no redaction has caused either scandal or operational difficulties. Can you talk a little bit about some of the other examples of this? For example, the PDFs in the government, when one of the government agencies put up PDFs that weren't redacted properly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The government agencies censor a lot of sensitive material. For instance, when they're responding to Freedom of Information Act requests, and more than once they have disclosed PDF files where the image layer of the PDF file was actually redacted, but there was still some text under the hood which they forgot to remove. And the most famous example was a document about the Iraqi war related to an Italian spy, whose name was still somewhere under the hood, and when they used the functionality in Acrobat to read the document, the content of the document for the visually impaired, it actually read the verbal content, which was under the redacted part of the document, and that caused a huge scandal. There's a lot of other examples, also in the commercial space. Employers and also e-commerce vendors, you know, have to remove personally identifiable information such as social security numbers, credit card numbers, and other information that can be intercepted by identity thieves. And removing personal identifiable information that's not germane to litigation, so it can also relate to privileged information, it can relate to private information, to medical information, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a technology and also problem that goes well beyond just the government and FOIA responses or, you know, documents disclosed that are secret or top secret.
Yeah, and there's varying degrees of redaction capabilities. Can you talk in theory a bit about some of the weaknesses and risks of using the different techniques for electronic documents?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's very important for people to understand, so I'll try to explain it in as simple terms as possible. There's a pure manual process that takes a lot of time. It's prone to human error. What you do is you actually take a black marker and you're going to redact information page by page. Now, Gartner informs its subscribers that manual and even semi-automatic processes are very impractical due to the high volumes of information today. And also what you see is if you just put a black sensor bar at the top of a text file, if you do it electronically, it could shift accidentally. It could reveal the text that can be retrieved by certain software products, because what you see is that sometimes if you look at a PDF or if you have a combination of a text and a TIFF file, or some kind of other bitmap file, it could very well be that the original text is still somewhere under the hood. And if it hasn't been removed from the document, there are still situations where you can either access the text, or if you use binary tools or forensic tools, you can read the text, or if you use features like this reading the text for the visually impaired, that's of course extremely embarrassing. So. Gartner, but also like a lot of government agencies state, proper redaction tools consist not just of obfuscating or masking the data, but you really have to remove it. And actually there is a directive from the National Security Agency that says that the only way that government agencies should redact is first print a document to a bitmap PDF, which is actually a PDF without any text behind it, and then redact that bitmap and then disclose it. Now, converting relevant files to TIFFs is also a very popular, and that's actually one of the most secure ways of redacting, because when you convert a document to TIFF, you know that there's really nothing left. It's not like with PDF that there's still the risk that if you have some kind of PDF feature not switched off, that there's still something under the hood somewhere in these PDF files that you don't know when it's still there. And when you convert something to TIFF, you just have a bitmap. And we see that, for instance, with our customers, the war crimes tribunals, TIFF is the way how they disclose information, because it's the only really secure way to redact information and to avoid the unintentional disclosure of confidential information because it's still somewhere under the hood.
So can you tell me a little bit about the Xylab approach to redaction?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as you can see here on the screenshot, this is just a screenshot from our Xylab information management platform. There's a couple of different aspects to redaction. First, you know, somebody has to apply the redactions, and what we can do is we allow users to manually mark or replace sensitive text, such as the name of a foreign leader, with a code word. We can actually take that data. You can see we can give it different colors, and we can put something on top of it like confidential, but we can also assign what they call exemption codes. So if you want to redact information, there are certain rules that apply, and there are certain rules that you can use to redact particular information. Every rule has a number and allows you to redact certain type of information. And we can also add this type of information to the redaction. We can audit the redaction, so we can see, well, when was something redacted, who did it, and you know, by using colors, you can also outline different types of redaction. So you can say, well, this is privileged, this is classified, this is personal information, and so we have a lot of tools to make it very easy for the user to apply these redactions.
Now, and so is that configurable, Jan? So you could have a different color for work product,
yeah,
than attorney-client privilege or something like that?
Absolutely. You can have different colors, different fonts, different size, different ways to show the exemption codes. We even support U.S. and U.K. Exemption codes out of the box, and it's very easy to add your own state or local list of exemption codes to the product. So it's very flexible. Now, on top of that, what we can do is we store these redactions in an XML overlay. And so instead of immediately burning them in, we create this overlay which we store next to the documents. And we have an option to make the redactions permanent just prior to the disclosure. So this can also be very useful because sometimes documents are being disclosed for different cases, and if you keep the old redactions, you're not going to run into a problem which we've also seen in documentaries recently, where documents, the same documents, have been disclosed by different government agencies, and they all had different redactions, and by putting them on top of each other, you were actually able to see all of the different redacted words, and that exposed a lot of information that shouldn't have been exposed. So by having these XML based overlays, whenever somebody redacted a document for a particular case, if you pop up that document, you retrieve the document like 20 years from now, you will see, well, this was redacted for these and these reasons. So if we're going to disclose this information, we want to make sure that we keep these particular redactions, so we're not going to disclose it again. Or we're not going to disclose it wrongly right now. Now, one of the other things we developed is something which we call transparent redactions, and that sounds a bit controversial, but the way how we use these is that if typically you have like users, different users that apply the redactions, because it's a very manual or a very labor-intensive process, and then somebody needs to do a quality control. It could be a records manager or another manager just before data is being disclosed. Now, what we can do with transparent redactions is that the users can see what's under the quality control users can see what's under the redaction, so it allows them to do a very fast and very efficient review process before the redactions are burned in as part of the disclosure process. Now, of course, we can do redactions on scanned bitmaps, but we can also, for instance, if we have a Word file or an Excel file or a PowerPoint, we can generate a TIFF file on the fly and immediately redact it. We can move redactions around. We can do version controls. We can tag the redactions with additional key field information, date and timestamps, exemption rules, comments. And that makes it all very, very auditable in this whole process. Now, one of the other things you have to think about is that this is redacting the content of TIFF files or files that are converted to TIFF. One of the other things where we see a great need is what we call metadata stripping, because sometimes parties agree to disclose electronic files, and there can also be a lot of confidential information in the metadata. You have to think about document properties, file properties, other information. So this is also something that's also being considered as part of a redaction process. So instead of just redacting the images, you do metadata file stripping. Now, having said that, you have to be very careful with that, because it could very well be that there's still something under the hood somewhere in that file format, because from electronic file formats, not everything is always fully documented.
No, yes, and some of the court cases too is if you consider formulas in a Excel sheet metadata, there are court like Sprint v. Williams that from Judge Waxy that will say, wait a minute, you know, that's important information. You can't strip that out necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think metadata stripping is still pretty much like an evolving area.
Mm-hmm.
There's not very clear consensus on how it should be done, and I think that disclosing and receiving parties also do not fully understand the risks of disclosing native files. You know, of course, there's benefits, but there's also risks.
Well, let's go back to redaction on regular files, though. I mean, you've just walked through very comprehensive what I would call sort of standard redaction. With some advanced features on fonts and colors and transparency and all of that, but really when you showed me some of this some of the way the software works, the thing that grabbed my eye was what you call intelligent redaction. Can you describe that for the listeners, please?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is when things are getting a little bit more complicated, but I'll try to keep it simple. What I've shown so far is just tools to do manual redactions. Now, we had a lot of other technology that allowed us to, of course, do full-text search, concept search, hit highlighting on TIFF images, hit navigation, and also recognition of regular expressions, such as social security number, license plate, etc. So what we did is that we used this technology to implement some form of intelligent redaction. And what it is it's an automated process that we developed many years ago, and that uses our search technology to identify words, phrases, or blocks of text, and then automatically redact all of the hits, or, for instance, allow users to select, well, this one needs to be redacted, and this one doesn't need to be redacted. But it's a very fast process, and users can navigate from hit to hit and say, yes, no, this is the exemption code, and redact it. Now, more interesting is...
So, for example, things like social security numbers, you'd match that pattern and then just be able to redact all social security.
Yeah, that's one of the more advanced functionalities where when you have like a normal just a search, a concept search, you have to define the words that you're looking for. So you have to define the names that you know you want to redact them. And in each case files, you know, you typically would know those names. But one of the problems is that with social security numbers or bank numbers or credit card numbers or license plates, you do not always exactly know how they look like. So what we developed is this technology based on recognition of regular expressions, which we used for our text mining tools to automatically recognize credit card numbers, social security numbers, license plates, and then we can automatically redact those. And you can see that actually on the slide where you see a very low quality document, two of them actually, and you can see them side by side, and you can see that they are actually in four different directions, four different orientations. The one at the top left is a normal orientation. The other ones are upside down and rotated 90 and 270 degrees. You can see that we can even recognize social security numbers in this very bad document We highlight them yellow, and then the users with just one click in the mouse or can decide to automatically redact all of the occurrences of these social security numbers. And this is great technology. We have out of the box more than 200 different regular expressions to recognize anything from email addresses to URLs and addresses for a variety of data. And this technology actually works for more than 400 languages. And as you can see in the next slide, this is a document in Korean. I don't know if you recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are some the translation in English is partly in the document. But what you can see is that we did exactly the same here. We did a search. We did a regular expression search. We found some information, and then you can see some of the information has been blackened out, redacted, and the other information is still identified by the search engine, and the users can decide whether they want to redact it or not.
So this is helpful for particularly for medical, financial here in the States, but then also if there are cases that extend outside the United States border where or governments are very concerned about the disclosure of personally identifiable information.
Yeah, no, and especially in Europe, Germany and France have one of the most strict privacy laws. And there's much more requirements to redact information in those countries. And if those documents are being released for or used in U.S. courts, you know, they have to be, you know, very, very thoroughly be redacted. What we also see is due to the nature of globalization is that more and more IP-related cases contain documents in Korean, Chinese, or Japanese. So we see an exponential increase in demand for support for these type of documents.
So Jan, you would be able to also search for something. So you could search for example, Mary Mac and replace Mary Mac with Custodian 123?
Yeah, absolutely.
All the way through?
Yeah, all the way through. And we would audit all of those redactions and say that, you know, somebody with a particular name or from a particular workstation, a particular date applied under a particular exemption rules, all of these redactions.
Interesting. So now, Jan, given what happened with WikiLeaks, let's say you've got a company that wants to protect their own information. Is it possible to automatically redact the sensitive keywords behind the scenes and then based on a security user role type of thing, allow only the highest level security employees to have the opportunity to see that so that you reduce the temptation for people who may not be paid as well or maybe disgruntled to steal information?
Yeah, no, this is something which is technically absolutely possible. And we actually have been looking in this for a while now. Because for several years, we at Xyla, we had these advanced text mining and content analytic tools that allowed us to recognize entities such as individual names, company names, geographic locations, job titles, and various other common names without having to specify that name in advance. And we could even link these names to each other so we could find out which person has which job title at which company as of a particular date. And this technology, we use it a lot in law enforcement, intelligence, and other security applications. But with these more complex analytics, we can also find any potential privately identifiable information and propose to the user to redact it, or we can automatically redact it in an environment where we say, well, this user is not going to be able to see any of these names, so we're going to take out all of the locations, for instance, of the embassies, all of the locations of the names of the ambassadors, everything for users from a particular security level. Whenever we show a document, we show it with this overlay on top of it, and only users with certain privileges are able to see more information. Now, we can do this with, at this moment, we have the text mining and extraction technology for more than 200 different entity types. And this is something in more than 40 languages, because this is a little bit more complex than just simple regular expressions. And this is definitely something that we will have very soon, especially after everything that happened with WikiLeaks. Now, one of the other things I can tell you is that we're also looking in the redaction of sound files and the redaction of the audio component of video files. As you may know, there's more and more sound and video content as well, and there are several embarrassing examples of non-redacted data that made it to the internet. And you know, WikiLeaks has also been disclosing a lot of video files, and redacting sound and video files is even more labor intensive. Now, we have some brand new technology which allows us to search audio files, and it also allows us to spot certain named entities in audio files and in the audio components of a video file by using phonetic search tools. And these sound recordings can then be tagged with these particular entities, and then we can redact the sound component by removing or replacing the sound parts of the automatically detected privately identified information. And I think that's also going to be a huge time saver for everybody who's involved in disclosing information to the public, because a lot of the information we have these days is text-based, but more and more information will be video and audio-based in the next decenniums.
So, yeah, and you're always way out in front. Now, how long have you had this redaction technology, the intelligent redaction technology?
Yeah, the intelligent redaction, we've had it now for a couple of years. I think it's actually 4 years. And recently we added the regular expression redaction, and next on the roadmap is the more entity extraction-based redaction. But I think that these cases like WikiLeaks only make us prioritize these type of features higher on our roadmap, because there is a great need for this type of technology in our society.
Well, Jan, thanks for your time today and your excellent overview of the intelligent redactions. And I think we all know that there'll always be unscrupulous characters that will take advantage of their access to information, but perhaps the redaction software can limit the exposure in those instances. So our listeners can access more information on this topic at zylab.com/podcast29. And I want to invite you to contact us if you're interested in a private demonstration of how this works, perhaps how it would work in your organization. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.